This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest, Sean Wade with Plains Cotton Growers. We'll look into the current situation of the crop and harvest and quality of cotton. And we'll also talk ERP, Emergency Relief Program. That in a moment. First off, Bart Kenner, USDA economist. Bulk ag exports.
Exports of wheat for January through October 2023 are $5.3 billion, down 29% from last year. Corn exports are $11.1 billion, down 33% from last year. Soybean exports are $21.4 billion, down 10% from last year. And cotton exports are $5.4 billion, down 35%. From last year.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Sean Wade. Sean is Director of Policy Analysis and Research with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. Sean, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you this afternoon, Tony.
Okay. Let's look at USDA and their latest, the National Ag Statistics Service, out with their latest numbers in both crop production and world ag supply demand estimates. They've reduced production over 300,000 bales due to a 500,000 bale decrease in the Texas crop. So the question is, are we finding less cotton in the fields we're harvesting, or could we still be failing acres?
I think it's probably a bit of both of those answers, Tony, to be honest. We certainly are still seeing crop insurance claims on dry land acres being processed. I mean, we're getting closer and closer to the end of that that process. But, you know, certainly this growing season, you know, the way it turned out, most of these failed acres that we're seeing this year basically are being failed at harvest time. So, it's taking, you know, the AIPs and USDA, RMA, you know, a little bit of time, you know, kind of to work through, you know, really what is a glut of failed acreage requests and claims to kind of get producers, you know, to where they need to be as far as, you know, getting their crops settled up. So certainly we're still seeing some of those acres be failed out, and you can see that in the FSA, USDA Farm Service Agency's certified acreage report. When you kind of look at the changes from the November report to the December report that was also released on December the 8th, you can see that, especially on the dry land side, you know, we basically increased almost double the number of failed acres on the dry land side from the 1st of November to the 1st of December. So we went from about 675,000 acres of failed dryland cotton in the high plains on November 1 to just a little bit shy of 1.2 million dryland acres having been failed as of December the 1st. So that's a big jump, you know, from one month to the next. And we would probably still expect to see some acres still kind of coming in under that failed acreage, you know, moving from the standing acres or harvested acres line column over to the failed acreage column. And that's what you're seeing reflected, I think, in the USDA NAS crop production report, where, you know, they basically took the Texas production area and reduced that estimate of production from about 3.6 million bales for the state of Texas to 3.1 million bales. So that's a pretty big cut. And most of that is again, they haven't adjusted their failed acreage estimate at the National Ag Statistics Service yet. But what you saw was a pretty significant decline in the expected yield per acre from the state. So almost, if I'm looking at that right, about a 70-pound decline in the average yield per acre for the state of Texas is what they're projecting in December. So going from just about a bale an acre at 487 pounds per acre on November 1st down to 419 pounds per acre on December the 1st. So, you know, it's been a very tough production season when the state average production number is less than a bale an acre.
Now, this is just me driving around, but I would say, just based upon the few fields I still see out there, is it safe to say we're maybe above 95% complete on harvest?
I would think so. I would think so. You know, we're at least to the 90% mark. You know, most growers were projecting to be done with their field work, you know, pretty shortly after Thanksgiving. So, you know, now that we're about a week or two behind that number or that date, I think we are, you know, really kind of on the short rows as far as, you know, cotton still in the field. And that's reflecting in some of the reports we're getting from the gents as well, where a lot of gents are forecasting themselves to be complete with their ginning operations, you know, by Christmas, if not Christmas, a lot of them maybe by New Year's or shortly after New Year's. So we're definitely on the downhill side of this crop, and you know, we'll begin to really kind of get a much bigger picture or better picture of, you know, exactly what kind of production we ended up with out of the 2023 crop. You know, we all know it was pretty down. And fairly comparable, I would say, probably to the 2022 growing season, when all is said and done. That's going to be two very, very difficult years back to back for both producers and especially for our infrastructure.
Let's look at, again, the quality of the cotton. We had some issues early on, but overall, would you say it's been pretty good what we've, and again, it's going to vary across the region, but are quality grades holding?
Yeah, you know, I think that's, if there's a bright spot that we would love to, you know, to be able to point to, especially for those of folks, you know, that are out there that may be looking to buy some cotton from West Texas, is that, you know, we may not have a lot of cotton this year, you know, available. But what we do have has been remarkably good on the quality side. You know, we're averaging 21 color and 35 staple, pretty much across the board in the Lubbock and Lamesa classing regions, you know, good micronaire, you know, all the quality parameters really are kind of right there where you'd want them to be, you know, considered a very good high quality crop. So, that is a bright spot, and we're glad, you know, that those numbers are holding up, and, you know, we're beginning to see, like I said, you know, the latter part of the crop come in, and sometimes you'll see a little bit of a dip in quality as, you know, maybe some of those lower yielding fields that producers kind of left to the end begin to come in. But again, so far, pretty pleased with the fact that the quality has been pretty consistent throughout the growing season so far.
Okay. Some producers have had challenges over the last few years, and we've seen ad hoc programs really try to help out. Obviously, is not something to make a producer whole. But right now, talking about the Emergency Relief Program, or ERP, and the 2022 version, lots of questions. Have we found many answers yet?
I really haven't found a lot of answers yet. Certainly, the decisions that USDA made in rolling out the 2022 ERP program have been questioned by, you know, many producers, producer groups, commodity organizations across the United States. Certainly, it's gotten the attention of some of the folks in Congress who are also asking those pertinent questions about, you know, why they made some of those calls. And folks are, you know, investigating, you know, maybe if there's anything that can be done to remedy some of those issues that we're seeing. Certainly, the 2022 ERP program was going, you know, we knew kind of going in that there wasn't going to be sufficient funds initially allocated to that program to cover all of the losses. You know, we certainly anticipated USDA following the procedures from the ERP 2020 and 2021 programs when it came to just implementing the program and then, you know, utilizing whatever factor would need to be made or imposed on those potential payments or benefits to fit within the allocated funds. Unfortunately, they did not, you know, choose to follow, you know, the same procedures that they used in the previous ERP and you know, come up with some different payment factoring schemes and some other you know, program mechanisms that have really kind of raised a lot of eyebrows. So there is a significant amount of discussion going on right now about that program, what maybe can be done to remedy some of those issues and you know, hopefully come to a maybe a better final outcome for producers as we kind of break over into the new year.
Okay. Kind of final one here for you as we enter in to 2024. Plenty of opportunities for producers to find out more information, whether it's new technologies for growing the crop, picking up CEUs or whatever, is the Beltwide Cotton Conference really the kickoff to all of these meetings?
Yeah, I think it really is, especially for producers in Texas this year with the Beltwide being held in Fort Worth over at the Omni Hotel there on, beginning Wednesday, January the 3rd, and then running through that Friday. So kind of a half-day consultants conference, which is really a great conference. A lot of producer relevant oriented information about new varieties and research programs and results are shared at that consultants conference that first Wednesday afternoon on January 3rd. But then you've got all the technical conferences that will then kick off on Thursday morning and run through noon on Friday, where you can, talk about insects, weed management, weed control, quality, gene technology, just about anything under the sun related to cotton. There's going to be a conference there with some pertinent research to be presented and information to be shared. And like you said, you can still pick up CEUs even at the Beltwide Cotton Conference that are going to be valid for the state of Texas. And so would really encourage producers to go to the National Cotton Council's website at www.cotton.org and maybe look into the information about this year's Beltwide. You can take a look at the program and maybe see about just running over to Fort Worth for a day or two and taking in some of that good information. And then following that, like you say, here on the High Plains, that really kind of begins the meeting season for some of our more localized programs and where producers can get some really good information at the local level to talk about what maybe they can look to as far as the 2024 growing season and, how to, kind of come out in a much better final position in 2024. So, again, a lot of good educational opportunities. We encourage folks to kind of keep an eye on the Plains Cotton Growers website. We'll be trying to keep, some of those meetings as we get information about them, keep that meeting information up to date. But you can also check out, the Texas AgriLife Extension, the Lubbock Center's website or the Amarillo Center's website, and they also have calendars that producers can maybe find some of those more localized meetings that they might want to try to attend here in the next month or two.
Sean Wade is with Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org. This is the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Sean Wade with Plains Cotton Growers.
CattleCon 24 is marching onward to Orlando, January 31st to February 2nd, 2024. Have your say in the future of the industry, network with fellow producers, or connect with friendly faces. Plus, the NCBA trade show will be on site with over 385,000 square feet of the latest and greatest in the cattle business to help your operation stay competitive and sustainable. Register today and learn more at convention.ncba.org.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is the Agribusiness Report. You can keep up with Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
This is the Agribusiness Report.
USDA investments in supply chain resiliency in the past 3 years include almost $200 million in 185 projects nationwide designed to
increase competition, enhance independent meat and poultry and other diversified food processing capacity, and build local and regional food systems.
Much of that comes within the Rural Development Mission Area. Rural Business Cooperative Service Administrator Karama Neal says five specific programs foster that investment.
The Rural Business Development Grant, the Value Added Producer Grant, the Business and Industry Guaranteed Loan Program, Rural Economic Development Loan and Grant Program.
Plus a program not currently accepting funding applications.
The Food Supply Chain Guaranteed Loan Program.
More details about these programs are available online at www.rd.usda.gov.
These investments and others that have been made and that will come are making and creating a better economic opportunity that spurs competition and bolsters food supply chains across the country.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.